The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. A curious Pharisee visits Jesus by night to learn from the teacher his friends reject. Jesus speaks to him about life in the Spirit and the kingdom of God. I begin reading at verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A businessman was flying commercial, and he was sitting there idly looking out his window at 30,000 feet down upon the clouds. And all of a sudden, he noticed a spark flying from one of the engines on the wing. And then a spark from the other engine on that same wing. And then fire burst out, and he was in horror of what was happening on those two engines. And then the two engines dropped off of the wing, and the plane shuddered, and it started to lose altitude. And the businessman put his head down, folded his hands, and started to pray. Through the whole ordeal, he continued to pray until the plane was able to make a safe landing, a safe emergency landing. And then the pilot's voice came over the intercom, "People, it is now safe. We have made a good emergency landing." And the businessman once again bowed his head and said a very short prayer. As the passengers were filing out, one of the ladies stopped where the businessman was sitting, and she said, "Sir, I noticed that when we were going through this whole experience, you bowed your head and you prayed, and that brought me comfort so that I wasn't panicking during this whole ordeal." And she said, "Do you mind me asking, what were you praying?" And the businessman says, "I prayed over and over again, 'Lord, if you would bring us safely through this, I promise to sell my stocks and my bonds and my real estate and give all the money to the poor.'" And the woman said, "Sir, I also noticed that after we had safely landed that you once again said a short prayer." And the businessman said, "Yes, it was only one word." And the woman said, "Do you mind me asking, what was that one word? Was it thanks? Was it amen?" And the businessman says, "No, it was someday." Someday, the greatest labor-saving device of humankind. We have a tendency to put off things, to just let them go, that we just don't want to deal with them. And there's a lot of reasons, or several reasons anyway, that we say someday we'll take care of it. Someday we'll do that. Someday we'll fix it. One of the reasons is that we hope that we forget that someday we'll ever get here. Someday I'll clean out the closet. Someday I'll start a new hobby. Someday I will take care of things. We're hoping that we will forget, like the businessman was hoping that he would forget, that he would never have to sell his stocks, bonds, or real estate and give the money to the poor. The good news for us, though, today is that God does not forget us. God doesn't say, "For God so loved the world that someday he will send his only begotten Son into the world that all those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God doesn't say someday. Instead, God acted. God did something about it. He did not forget us. God looked down on the world and he saw the mess that we were in, of how we treat each other, how we tear each other apart, and we do tear each other apart. I mean, we try to build ourselves up, but instead of actually building ourselves up, what we're actually doing a lot of times is tearing somebody else down so that we look higher. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we commit adultery, we covet. We do all those things that God says not to do. And we don't do the things that God asks us to do. We tear each other apart. But God didn't say, "Someday I'll fix that mess." No, instead, God acted. He sent his Son into this world to fix it, to be a Savior, to bring us back up once again so that we are worthy to be called children of God. Another reason that we say someday is we hope that the problem will fix itself. Someday I'll have that operation, hoping that your body will heal itself. Someday I'll clean out the garage, hoping maybe that there's a fire in the meantime. Someday I'll become a Sunday school teacher, but right now it's fine. They have enough. I'll let somebody else do it. Someday I will tithe 10% of my income, but right now, the church doesn't look like it's in such bad shape. We put it off, hoping that the problem will fix itself and we don't have to act. But again, the good news for us today is that God acted. God didn't say someday he would send his Son into the world. He did send his Son into the world to fix the mess that was down here. God didn't just look down and say, "Well, I'll give them all the resources that they need so that everybody can share and everybody, there is enough food, there's enough clothing, there's enough materials for housing. Everybody can live well. There's enough resources. I'll just let them fix their own problems down there." No, instead, he sends his only begotten Son into this world to become flesh and bone. And he lives among us. And he cares for us. He speaks to us. He heals us in our woes. He tells us or helps us to move through the issues and the problems that we have caused for ourselves. He is active within our lives here and now, today. Not someday, but God is active now in our lives. And another reason that we say someday, that we put things off, is because we just don't want to do them. They're ugly jobs. They're nasty jobs. They're things that we just don't want to do. Maybe it's, "Someday I'll start my income tax. Someday I'll work on my term project, even though it's only the night before the term project is due. Someday We'll take care of those things because we just don't like doing those things. We don't like participating. We know it has to be done, and we save it for the very last minute until we're in a crisis, in the midst of a crisis. But again, the good news for us today is that God has not done that. He has sent His Son into this world to take care of fixing up this mess, even though it was a very dirty job, a very difficult job, because this is God's only begotten Son who has come into this world. And right now, as we are right in the middle of Lent, and we look at that cross and the resurrection, we remember that story and how ugly that job was, of the betrayals, of the arrest, of the kangaroo courts and trials, of the whippings, the beatings, the spitting, the crown of thorns, the humiliation, the nails through the hands and the feet, the spear in the side, and death on that cross. It was ugly business, but God didn't say, "Someday we'll take care of it." God acted, and He took care of it. And for us, we say, "Someday I'll repent. I'll change my ways. I'll return back to God. Someday." When we were little, my brother, sister, and I, we had our toys, and we had favorite toys, and we'd play with toys for a while, and then we'd kind of forget about those toys. And Mom would notice how we played or what we were playing with, and she would pick up those toys when we weren't around that we weren't playing with at that time, and she'd box them all up, and she'd put them up in the attic. And we didn't even notice because we weren't playing with those toys at the time. And then on some dreary, wet day or some day that we were feeling down, Mom would say, "I've got something for you." And she would go up in the attic and bring that box down again of all those old toys. And we'd open up that box, and it was like Christmas again. We had forgotten about these toys, but we still love those toys. But we had forgotten about them. And I think that's what repentance is like. We're the same people, but yet we repent and everything becomes new once again because God has given us a fresh start, a new direction to go in life. God did send His only Son into this world. He took care of the problems here in this world. He became a Savior for us. We didn't have to fix our own troubles because we are not capable of fixing our own troubles. We're not capable of working our own selves into heaven. But God has come down to this earth and has made us worthy by His Son. For God so loved the world. Amen. May the peace of God keep our hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.